Summer. There's just something about it. The blistering sun, the aroma of a barbie.
Getting stuck to the seat in the car.
And of course, cricket.
That's how it's done.
From these tiny seedlings will grow graceful willows. Not planted simply to please the eye, but for a specific purpose.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong. This is Triple M's Willow Talk.
And there's so much cricket on at the moment. The Big Bash has kicked off. The Test match is tied at one apiece, the series versus India. And a couple of changes to the Willow Talk squad. I thought Gilchrist and Guha were good last week, but the selector's axe has fallen. Gilchrist out, Guha out. Irreplaceable, you'd think. But then I look at the two men that have come into the squad. Greg Blewett is here for his second start on Willow Talk. Hello to you, Bluey.
Good morning, Howie.
Wonderful to see you. And our big inclusion, we've squeezed him into the squad, which is never easy. Merv Hughes is here. Hello, Mervin.
Literally. Good morning.
Obviously, no Triple M cricket this year, which is, it's tough to take. It's devastating, Merv. Your fan base is devastated because they're not hearing this over the summer.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, Merv, what you've thought about the first three overs here after lunch, just in terms of the lengths and lines that the boys have been bowling.
Yeah, to be honest, just haven't been watching. I've just been putting my face out the back. Anyone who takes notes can you take seriously?
Well,
she comes loaded up with notes. Harry. What's going on?
She is prepared.
And to be honest, though, in my defence, I can't read my own writing, so it's a waste of time taking notes, Howie. I've got to state the obvious here. I think any runs from here on in for Australia is a bonus.
That's the deepest thing you've ever said.
It's 10 and 11 at the crease. Well, how much are we paying this clown?
That's your top shelf analysis that the country is now missing out on. Merv Hughes and Greg Blewett, so much to get through. We've got a couple of guests as well. Sam Harper is joining us. Did very well a couple of nights ago for the Renegades. James Pattinson, who was involved in that bizarre run out. The top five is back. And I'm going to present to you the top five moustaches ever to play for Australia. I'm looking at the man beside me.
So you only need the other four, though.
Well, really? See, when we did the top five best looking, this is what Bluey said to me, and he was pushed back to number two by Brendan and Julian. But you two, it's about you two this show. Bluey, you would have played as a young man, I would have thought, for the Sacker against the big boy.
I did, Merv. It was actually myself and James Brayshaw who he didn't really like a hell of a lot. But it was my second year, Howie, at the MCG. Now, I was nowhere. Gutsed it out to 50, and I raised my bat. Pretty happy with myself. And Merv walked past and went, I've played about 100 first-class games, and that is the worst 50 I have ever seen.
Howie, it gets better.
So then I trudge on to 100. Do the same thing. Merv walks past. Get your bat down, you little twerp. That's the worst 100 in my life.
I think he's anyway, tied that up to a twerp.
I got the 150, worst 150. Got the 200, worst 200. Got the 250. That's the worst 250 I've ever seen. And that was the last time he sledged me.
You don't see too many bad 250s, but that was ordinary. That's what I was going on about, Howie.
Up next, we need to talk about Boxing Day, the big test match, what it's meant to you two, obviously as a Victorian, Merv, and Bluey, what it means to play on Boxing Day. It is all tied at one apiece. The Boxing Day test couldn't be better, all level at one apiece. They're expecting warm weather in Melbourne in Boxing Day, 80,000 plus. We'll start with you, Greg Blewett. What's been your favourite memory of playing in the Boxing Day test match?
Just watching as well, guys. Yep. That hat trick from Warnie, I'm sure you were. Did you play in that one, Merv?
No, I was going Shane Warne's. That, mate.
The other thing for me, Howie, Jacques Kallis made a 100 for South Africa, and that was the start of him just, dominating world cricket. So I think that was a really good 100, and I think all of us that played in that game thought we're seeing the next superstar, and that's what it was. But the other thing that I'll mention about myself, I actually got dropped the very first ball of the Boxing Day Test match against India.
Did you really?
So, yeah, it was one of the two occasions in my career where I actually could hear the crowd going berserk, and I'm going, come on, just concentrate. And it was against Shavagal Srinath, the Gecko, as we called him.
The Gecko.
Came in, Bowled a good length ball. I just tried to defend. It came off the shoulder of the bat, and it seriously just looped to Anil Kumble, Apple Crumble, as I used to call him. And he turfed the easiest catch you've ever seen, and I made him pay. I went on to get a magnificent 17. But I'm not sure whether anyone else has got dropped the first ball of a Boxing Day test.
Merv, for you, you've had the opportunity, like Aaron Finch will get, to play in front of his home crowd and Dino and all sorts of great Victorian players. What is it like playing in front of your home crowd in the Boxing Day Test match, especially a man with you that everybody absolutely adored?
Yeah, listen, absolutely massive. We used to have these conversations with the New South Wales boys all the time about what was a better ground, stadium, whether it was the SCG or the MCG. And like we from Victoria used to tell those blokes, like, mate, if you're happy playing in front of 48,000 people, play at the SCG. If you want to play in front of a big crowd, come to the MCG. And you know, Bluey, when you bat in South Australia, when you hit a boundary, there's a little bit more cheer because you're South Australian. Now, you double, triple the crowd. And I've always said there's only one thing better than being in the Australian side playing Boxing Day, and that's being a Victorian in the Australian side. The support we get, massive. Memories, probably 92, 93 against the West Indies. And where you talk about Jacques Cullers, a superstar in the making, we had a little blonde leg spinner that really hadn't made a name for himself, just came back from Sri Lanka, picked up a couple of wickets there and didn't play the first test in Brisbane, came in. And I reckon the West Indies were one for about 130, needing maybe another 180 to win. And Warnie came on and just ripped them.
Got that flip at a Richie Richardson, and away it went.
Yeah, and from there, I suppose the rest is history, as they say.
Fantastic. So much to look forward to. And as I said, nice weather expected.
What are you laughing at, Blue?
Just your expressions.
Ripped them a what?
Ripped them a beauty.
Ishigura doing a fine job on Fox Sports. Next, we're going to take you back to the day there was a rain delay in Melbourne. There was a horse race, and Merv nearly got kicked out of the media area. Such was his enthusiasm. Louis, I want to take you back to
fashion tips from you, just quietly. Black t-shirt, seriously.
Can't go wrong with a black t-shirt.
Exactly.
Grey t-shirt.
Why have you got a white t-shirt on there?
I've got a grey one, actually.
Bluey's got the old t-shirt, though, that's got the fitted arm, I feel. Just a bit of a look around.
We should do a TV show. I'll stay offset.
Yeah, I think you can produce it, Merv, if that's the case. Now, listen.
Yeah, anyway.
The Boxing Day test last year, Bluey. Triple M cricket was in fine swing. Alistair Cook batted for about 7 days. There was nothing in the wicket, and there came a rain delay. Now, I'm not overstating this.
How happy were we with the rain delay?
Well, at that stage, it was more entertaining than the cricket. We were probably better on Triple M when it was raining rather than the cricket was being played.
We did our best work off
air. A tip came about a horse, which I'll play you some audio shortly, Bluey.
But can we just, like, to prelude that, there was a horse running in a previous race called Isha's Delight.
Yes.
So we'd sort of loaded up on that, and Isha's Delight came around in really good form and then just beep, beep, beep with the reverse, waked it in reverse and ended up last. So then this tip comes through, Poppy Rocks, and I've loaded up the boys in Triple M, and we're sitting and watching it in the rain delay.
So the thing about the MCG is the radio boxes are right next to each other, Bluey.
Yes. TV
the other radio boxes could have been across on the other wing in the Great Southern Stand, and there's still a chance they would have heard Merv.
And they could have been in Adelaide, Howie.
Well, the very
it was exciting, Blue.
ABC types, and then a gentleman from, it might have been the BBC, wandered in with a very plum accent, basically trying to remove Merv from the commentary air because him and Isha were getting so loud. So I'm going to take you back there to this particular race, which was in
Bairnsdale.
It's pretty much Ascot and then Bairnsdale. Yes, and correct. We're going to recreate it. Merv and Isha are on the horse called
Poppy Rocks.
And let's go back to that day.
200
Poppy Rocks,
to go.
200 to go, took the lead. Don't Dismiss trying to rally back on the inside. Running on his own board from internship. 100 left to go.
Trouble.
Poppy Rocks in front.
Come on, Pop.
Is kicking
come on, Pop.
It's kick, Poppy Pop, Rocks kick, neck in front. Kick, Poppy Rocks done kick. Up.
At that stage, Merv lost it. And as I said, this gentleman from the BBC came in. I thought you were going to have your accreditation removed.
Well, he did ask us to keep us down, and I might have told him to piss off.
Yes.
I think you did, actually.
Up next, we're going to speak to a gentleman by the name of Sam Harper. He went from the Melbourne Stars, came to the Melbourne Renegades on debut, was out there when they were four for not many. This man got them home for the first ever time against the Scorchers. Sam Harper joining us next. an incredible game on Thursday night at the newly named Marvel Stadium. Boys, the Perth Scorchers had had 8 prior victories straight over the Renegades. The Renegades had never beaten them. 104 is what the Renegades knocked over the Scorchers for.
Oh, comfortable.
And then 4 for 17, and I'm thinking, oh no, the streak continues. And watching all the wickets fall was a young man who came across from the Melbourne Stars to the Renegades by the name of Sam Harper. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Sam.
G'day, guys.
Hey, great to speak to you. The boys have got all sorts of questions for you, but just to set the scene, you're chasing down 104 for the win. All of a sudden, you're 4 for 17, as I mentioned. Wickets were falling everywhere. What were you thinking at this stage?
Yeah, that's right. So not a lot. It was all happened so quickly, and I was nervous out there, but yeah, it was nice that Nav came out. He was quite relaxed and was put on a partnership.
Sam, I was listening to the commentary and everyone was saying, Brad Hodge included, saying, oh, well, probably Sam just, you know, you've lost those wickets, probably just knuckle down. But, geez, you kept playing your shots, didn't you? You backed yourself.
Yeah, that's right. I think that was just, I just wasn't thinking at all, to be honest. No, I was just trying to enjoy it. And so when the ball was nipping around, if I tried to block it, I was just going to nick off. So I tried to score.
Sam, the big one with that, the drop-in wicket at Marvel Stadium, there's a lot of unknowns to it as in how it's going to play. Have you played there before, and how hard was it? Because it was a low-scoring 2020 game. We're used to seeing 180 to 200 scored. So how tough was it out there?
Yeah, that's right. I'd played there the once before in a derby a couple of years ago. And yeah, I think it was just the new ball. The new ball was just seaming around a fair bit. And obviously with the roof shut, it was swinging. So the guys like Behrendorf and Usman for us were tough work with the new ball. So yeah, I'm not sure what the wicket's going to be like in the next few games there. But if that's anything to go by, it could be tough work.
Bluey, you mentioned on, I think it was Channel 7, you're referring to Brad Hodge saying he thought that Sam would play it around. There's another cricket channel called Fox where Shane Warne was on. He said, I think the best approach here is, Sam, to really go hard and go strong. I don't know if you were listening, Sam, but all of a sudden you played a ramp shot and then hit someone over backward square for 6. It was such an important little period of the game because it was your momentum alongside Muhammad Nabi that really swung the game. How do you stay courageous to play your shots in a situation like that?
Yeah, that's right. It's great having Andrew McDonald as coach. He's obviously my big training coach as well, and he just sort of said to go and back myself at the top of the order there. So, yeah, that's all I was really trying to do, and I was just sort of running off the adrenaline and trying to hit it as hard as I could.
Sam, how's the move been, mate? Of course, you jumped ship from the Stars to the Renegades. How's the feel around the group?
Yeah, that's right. It's been really good. We had a team camp in Geelong last weekend, which was good fun. Boys, we had a couple of games. We got out for a couple of surfs, which was good. And then, obviously it all happens pretty quick, the group getting together. Usman, the international's been great and bowled really well last night. And obviously, Nabi's really good player. So yeah, the boys are going really well. It was nice to get a win against the Scorchers. I don't think the Renegades had ever
no
beaten.
No, you hadn't.
0-8, no, Sammy.
You made the difference, mate.
Sam, before we let you go, you mentioned that you went down the coast, Sam, and did a little bit of surfing as the team. How did the gentleman from the more Middle Eastern regions, Pakistan, with your big opening bowler and Muhammad Nabi out of Afghanistan, how did they handle the waves in Torquay?
Look, Harry, they didn't actually get out there.
Right.
I think they said they had something important and I don't reckon they were doing anything.
Hey, Sam.
Did they have an offshore blowing that day?
No, it was onshore. So
well, that makes it tough.
Mate, I couldn't surf anything. So
you don't need to the way you're batting, Sam. Exactly. We appreciate your time. Best of luck for a long season with the Renegades. And again, well done. You've broken the duck against the Scorchers.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good on you, Harps.
Cheers, guys.
Sam Harper having a chat with us about his amazing innings where he turned the game for the team in red. I think next we need to talk test matches, Bluey. I think we need to have a discussion with you about what happened in Perth and whether the Aussies can go on with it. Bluey, one of the major upshots of the second test was a lot more analysis and listening of the stump microphone. I know some of the players are a bit concerned about it. By gee, it just came to show what a wonderful leader I think Tim Payne is for Australia. And just a little bit of audio here and there has elevated him to legendary status. It's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he handled himself really well, Howie and Merv. With everything that's happened, there was this talk about how the Australian team was going to go about it. The last thing I wanted, and I'm sure the rest of the Australian public wanted, was for teams just to, roll all over us and just sort of let them do whatever they wanted. And all we want is for our guys to, you know, stick up for themselves, and doesn't have to be abusive or whatever. But I think the way he handled it was calm. There was no swearing, a bit like what Merv, how he used to go about it, no swearing. But, yeah, we were sort of wrestling with that a little bit in our commentary box about the use of how much we use the stump mics, because as a player, you probably hate it that everyone's listening to what's being said. But in saying that, I think everyone at home really enjoyed it and sort of gets a real insight into what is said out there. But I thought it was intriguing. There's no doubt about it. We probably didn't want much more of it, but it was, Tim Payne, I thought, had a really good game, especially with the gloves, and then chipped in with the bat.
Yeah, as you said, Blue, it's a great insight to watch that and to hear it back. People say sledging's not a part of it. Now, as Coley said after it, as long as there's no swearing, it's not too personal, you get into each other, and all sledging is, and make no mistake about it, it's a distraction. And if, as a batsman, you're more worried about what the bowler or the fielders are saying, you're not concentrating on what you need to do. So there's room for sledging in the game. And listen, no swearing and not too personal, that's not my kind of sledging, okay? But what Tim Payne did, he stood up and, as you said, calmly just went back at him. And I don't think Coley expected that, to be honest.
This was Tim Payne talking to Murali Vijay about the Indian skipper.
Murali, I know he's your captain, but you can't seriously lie things away.
It was
that's a diverted sledge, isn't it? So it's sledging Bluey talking to you. Like,
correct.
Gee, Bluey's looking
very clever
at
by Howie,
isn't it? So he gets a message, doesn't he?
A lot of people won't realise that not too long ago the ICC changed their regulations to allow the stump mic to be listened to the whole time, which is why, it's possible. But I think it's a fine line, and I get that, and I can understand the situation the cricketer's in. It's their workplace, but I reckon you'll find within 2 years it'll be de rigueur in test matches, and that's what people expect, because whether you like it or not, cricket is sitting in the entertainment space, and test cricket needs everything to bring people to it.
But the thing about the stump mics are, in the calmness of a boardroom when you sit down and talk about behaviour on the ground, that's great. There's no adrenaline. There's no pressure. You get out in the middle and something happens, you get a little bit frustrated and you want to have a crack at someone. Now, every now and then, someone may swear on the ground, and that's where it's a problem. So you can't say to players, don't swear because of stump mics. And then when someone swears, but they're stump mics, the players know they're there. The players don't know. They get out on the ground, they get their head locked into a space, and it's a combative sport, cricket, and people forget that.
But they will know, Merv. Yeah. Having a camera put in front of our faces on the way off 10 years ago, we would have smacked the camera out of their hands. So
were you playing 10 years ago?
I did, yeah. Right. Probably a bit longer than that. But anyway, it's an educational thing. And the players now will they'll just get used to the stump mics. As Howie's saying, other sports are doing it now. And, you know, obviously cricket needs to keep up.
Well, you've got to be more inclusive, and you've got to get people to watch the game, and this is going to bring people to watch the game.
Spot on. A lot to come in the second hour, including James Pattinson about that amazing run-out situation up in Brisbane.
Amazing.
The world-famous story off back from Triple M Cricket, and I'm going to continue the top five series by naming my top five moustaches ever to play test cricket Australia.
You got this one, Blue.
Merv, if you demand performance and durability on the job site, has to be Irwin.
Yes.
With Irwin's vice grip locking pliers, the quick grip clamps, my favourite, the record vices, which Bluey loves, and the World Tech circular saw blades, you'll get the job done right time, first time, and of course, available at Bunnings Warehouse, Irwin at Trade Strong. I put it to Gilly and Bluey, what are they like in the home hardware department, and whether they've got some Irwin gear at home. Bluey was not that good at home handyman stuff, nor was Gilly. What about you, Merv?
I believe that we've got to keep the economy in Australia flowing.
Yes.
And if I need something at home, I'm going to go out and get a qualified person so we can
earn money to do it.
Why do it yourself and take jobs off other people?
Yes, Murph. Oh,
that's a good argument. That's a good argument.
Yeah, no, I'm no good.
Will Australia Australia win the Test Series? Like, the best thing about it will go with a result on the line, Sydney being one apiece at the moment. Will Australia be able to continue with their momentum?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they would have taken a lot of confidence out of Perth. Win the toss. I mean, these days, Bluey, you win the toss, play reasonably well, you're not going to get beaten.
Melbourne's different this year too, guys. I'm involved with the Redbacks. We played a Shield game there, and they've definitely left grass, a lot more grass on it, so it's going to be a bit spicy the first couple of days. So, because a lot of people are worried about how flat the MCG is, and it's been an absolute joke over the last 5 or 6 years. But
coming from a batsman.
Yeah, it's going to be a big toss. I'm working the media now, so we don't want to see a snooze fest. But
the big thing is, like you say, leave a little bit of grass on it, and there's no qualms. And Victoria have done it for years. There's no qualms in batting the fourth day there because the wicket just doesn't fall apart and the ball doesn't play tricks on the fourth and fifth day. So chasing runs there or batting time is not going to be a problem. So it's got to be the first sort of 3 days to get through possibly two innings to set a game up.
Has Nathan Lyon become Australia's first pick player?
Just about, because he plays in all conditions. I mean, he's such a good bowler now. So, you know, he bowls a lot of overs, which then allows us to rotate our quicks from one end, and therefore you haven't got that thing in the back of your mind going, do we need to rest some of our fast bowlers and maybe play the all-rounder? So I'm hoping for the next test match we just pick our top six batters. So we're not worried about playing an all-rounder. If Mitch Marsh is in your best six at that time, then you play him. But otherwise, you just go with your best batters.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I suppose selection for Boxing Day, Hanscom's under the pump, and he's copping a fair bit of criticism from around the place. But is his technique that bad, Bluey?
He made runs with that technique, but he was making better decisions when he was batting well. I just think he's not playing that well, and I think all the talk about his technique is just starting to get to him a little bit.
Well, win the toss and bat reasonably well is the key. The shot selection in our first innings in Adelaide, so go back two test matches, Finchie's second, third ball, whatever it was, big drive early on. There was a few other. Each batsman got out playing a poor shot in each of the innings. So Khawaja's shot in the second innings, yet his second innings in Perth was outstanding. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the guys are learning that put value on your wicket, bat time, get runs, you're more chance of winning a test.
Nice. Up next, the top five moustaches to ever play test cricket for Australia. Merv's got one hand on the trophy.
Put your glasses down.
Red hot favourite.
The segment top five has got a mind of its own. We started with the best looking test cricketers ever to play. Greg Blewett came in second behind Brendan Julian. He's never recovered from that. Last week it was the top five entertainers.
Where did I go top five best looking?
Just missed out by 468 positions, I think, Murph.
I would have said 4,680 positions.
Last week it was the entertainers, Warne just beaten by Gilchrist. It is time for the top five.
Now on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Howie's top five.
Here we go. Starting at number five of the best moustaches ever to play test cricket for Australia. Merv looking very confident. A man that somehow squeezed his way into the top five best looking, because I might be a bit biased, Alan Robert Border. Had the little sort of moustache, a bit of salt and pepper, looked like a colonel in charge. AB comes in at number five. Had a beautifully manicured moustache.
So you say colonel, man in charge.
Yep.
I look at AB's moustache, so I think 70s porno style.
But that gets you votes.
Okay,
that gets you votes.
Needs to bring it back too, I reckon, Howie.
I think he should bring back the
most. He's just got that top lip for it.
I agree with that. Coming in number four, who got a run as well in the great entertainers top five, this is a man that I think his moustache was combined with his chest hair in a very unique way, DK Lilly. Off the long run in the 70s and 80s, hair flowing, shirt undone with a nice aggressive moustache, Bluey, has to be in the top five.
No, that's a good call, Howie. Yeah, the hair, you could almost, his hair could have come from his chest and up to his moustache. Like and he, a lot of gut hair as well. So,
that was a good
call. What, number three must be good because it's going to be me and Booney top one or two, isn't it?
Gut hair. Maybe next week we'll have to do the top five gut hairs.
Back hair and comb at four.
I think you've got that covered. Number three, and this man gets it because he rolled out a moustache and all of a sudden turned his test career around. Well, Merv, this is my segment. This is a man that went from a little bit left, a little bit right. The English had that song about him. Then he grew the moustache and he became unplayable. It was like a biker out of Sons of Anarchy. Mitchell Johnson comes in at number three with the best moustache. Hard to argue, Bluey.
Yeah, no, that's right. And he got a little bit superstitious too, Howie, because you're right, he grew it. It was a magnificent moustache. It went, you know, just down the side of his goatee there. And because he went so well, he was reluctant to shave it off as well. So it was there for a long period of time.
More men should grow mustaches, Blue. You look good with a mo.
I think me and Bluey need more than Movember. We need to start it in July to have something going. I don't think you'd be that good in that area, Bluey, would you?
No, I can grow. I'll grow a beard, but I'm not growing just a moustache. That's, you know, not me. Not you either, Howie.
No. Number two in the best moustaches ever to play for Australia. This was a much-loved figure. People loved him for the way he played his cricket, the way he was on and off the field. I am proud to call him a friend. Murph Hughes.
Yes, I knew he was going to be two. I knew you were going to do that, Howie. I love it.
There's always a shock in it. You look after your mate Gilly last week, and you just blow me away.
Well, it's a magnificent moustache. It's something to be proud of.
Next time you go surfing, I hope a shark bites your bum.
And you've still got the moustache.
I'm out of it.
Murph's walked out. He's walked
you
out.
You have got this 100% spot on.
He's bailed out. Murph's come in number two. And coming second is something you should be proud of, Murph.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with number two, mate.
What about the photos of you when you first played for Victoria and you don't have a moustache and you look like a completely different person?
Yeah. It's a worry.
He's flat. So number one.
Yeah, Mini-Me, I call him.
The best moustache ever to play for Australia. Came out of Tasmania, was tough as teak, and just had a nicely organised mo that inspired his own team and brought fear into the opposition.
Max Walker.
David Boone.
The baboon.
Yes.
No Max Walker?
No Max Walker. He couldn't fit him in. But I think you'd agree with me, Bluey, that Babsy, as you guys call him, has Merv covered.
Please. Yeah, my roomie for a while there, he had to go at number one. That's beautiful. He's still rocking it too. It's got magnificent thickness to it. It's got the odd grey hair.
This is very much like the decision against James Pattinson the other night. That's a disgrace.
Merv's gone to the DRS to see he's got the moustache. Triple M Cricket back with Willow Talk, Mark Howard, alongside the legend with the second best moustache ever to play for Australia, Merv Hughes.
Congratulations, Bernie.
Greg Blewett. Our next guest has been involved in a remarkable situation already this summer. There's so much to talk to him about, including the fact he's back playing first-class cricket, which is wonderful. James Pattinson joins us on the line from Brisbane. Hello, Jim.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Great to speak to you. Before we get too much into the cricket, a couple of nights ago, the Big Bash kicks off. You've gone for a quick single. The whole world has thought you were safe except the third umpire. Take us out into the middle, mate. It was quite extraordinary and it took 6.5 minutes to resolve.
Yeah, that's right. It was extraordinary. I think that's one way to put it. I suppose, I don't know, it was one of those things where you just think everyone went back to their positions and we're ready to play on, and then I got given out. So, it's a bit like, what's going on here? And then initially I think everyone just thought he'd pressed the wrong button, so... The umpire's just like, I'll just stay here. I think there's been a mistake. So I waited around and I think, like you said, it was about 3 or 4 minutes gone past and there was nothing, you know, no resolve in it. And then basically the umpire said, you're out. So I walked off and then got halfway off and Ben Lachlan said, we're withdrawing the appeal. And basically Frizy, the umpire, was like, you know, you can come back and bat. It was a big turn of events, actually. So I don't know. It was one of those things where I think probably the best outcome or the right outcome, you know, played out in the end, but it just took a while to get to that. And yeah, it was a bit disappointing. It took that long, really.
It was mass confusion, no doubt about that. They didn't know what they were doing out there, Jim Bob. Now, what about yourself, mate? That the Heat didn't play that well against the Strikers up there, but must be great to be back involved with the Big Bash.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's fantastic, and it's great to be available and ready to go at the first game of the year. And like you said, obviously we didn't play too well. I think our bowling performance was quite good, and I think in patches our batting, I think we got off to a pretty good start. I think we were, you know, sort of 60 off the power play or close to that, and only one wicket down. So, you know, it was just probably from 6 to 10 overs where we really lost. I think we lost sort of like, you know, 6 or 7 for not many at all. So, you know, it's probably a 4-over period there where we really lost the game. And apart from that, I think, you know, we put on a partnership for the last wicket, and early on there was some good signs as well. So, you know, I think obviously it was a bit of nerves for the first game. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly, you know, what's a good score and you know, what we want to get on the board. But I think there was definitely some good signs there out of the game.
A bit of room service coming through as a gym.
That was my alarm. You got me up before my alarm.
Oh, I thought that was blooming. Now, James, a big move for you from the Renegades up to Brisbane Heat. Is part of the reason for that possibly the wicket that you get to play on? Because the wicket at the now Marvel Stadium, not great for fast bowlers?
Yeah, a little bit. I suppose it's... You know, it's really good to get somewhere where there's a bit of pace. You know, I don't know about whether that was the reason for the move, because I know there's some big scores getting hit up at the Gabba, so that was always on the back of my mind. But no, I think it's just about change. I think I've played all my cricket for the last sort of 10 years in Victoria, and you know, it's just good to freshen up. I think after having a big layoff with some back surgery and just to get into a new environment with some new players and sort of you know, just have that freshen up and that sort of you know, sort of starting again a little bit. You go to a new club and new faces, you're a bit of nerves and that sort of thing. So it's good to sort of get that back into the system.
Speaking to James Pattinson from the Brisbane Heat on Willow Talk alongside Merv Hughes and Greg Blewett. Jim, you mentioned the back surgery. It's great to see you back playing first-class cricket and getting wickets for Victoria, and hopefully things continue along that path. The back surgery itself, you didn't get it done in Australia. You were faced with some really interesting choices. Just run us through that, and it must have been a really difficult time for you.
Yeah, it was. I suppose, you know, I had a pretty successful time over in England. I got back and I was bowling pretty much indoors for about a month and getting ready for a Bangladesh test tour. And then, you know, my back started to get sore again. So obviously I had scans and it revealed the worst outcome. And then sort of like for the next sort of month, it was sort of, you know, a lot of umming and ahhing and seeing specialists. And I think, you know, we spoke to specialists over in England and New Zealand and sort of try to work out what the best sort of best procedure would be and whether, you know, even if it was a good option to get surgery. And I know, I think Alex Contreras, who the Triple SM manager, Cricket Australia, really was keen on me going over to New Zealand. So we sort of explored that option, and then he sort of came back and said, oh, I'm not sure it's a good option. So then I was sort of a bit disappointed about that, and I thought, you know, I might obviously not even be able to get surgery with it. It might be that too far gone and stuff like that. So, you know, in the end, we sort of took about a month and a half to actually work out what we were going to do, and then we booked in the surgery. So that was sort of like a bit of an unknown time, because I was sort of thinking, you know, am I ever going to get right to come back and play, and especially the longer format of the game. So I suppose that little period there was a bit of an unknown, was probably the hardest thing.
Jimmy, what about being a dad? Must be loving that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it is really good, I suppose. I think, you know, most cricketers have babies. They always say, you know, you can have a bad day and you come home and you've got your little daughter there or your little boy, and it's a great feeling. So, you know, it's been really good, and it's a change and something. Obviously, you know, you have a lot more responsibilities now, which is great. So, yeah, I think it's a great thing.
James, we appreciate your time. Certainly the Willow Talk team is behind you. We hope to see you playing for Australia again soon. Thanks for joining us on Willow Talk.
Cheers. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Cheers, to speak James. To James Pattinson. Wouldn't it be great to see him playing Test cricket again, Bluey? Possibly in the Ashes even.
Well, he's got a brilliant career up to date. Mm. So we just need him fit and firing, and geez, he'd give us great backup. So, no, wonderful player.
Now, Merv.
Just before we go on.
Yes.
Great from the strikers the other night to recall James Pattinson.
Yes.
Situation of the game. If it's a tight game, would they have done the same thing? You'd like to think yes, but do they say couple of runs needed, couple of wickets to get? You'd like to think yes, wouldn't you?
No, yes, that's how the strikers roll, mate. That's how we do it in Adelaide.
You'd like to think yes.
What about the joy in his voice when he's talking about strikers win over Brisbane?
The defending champions?
Seriously?
They're very, very proud of him. As I said, I think we've done a decent job of this little radio show, but better than us is Phil Tufnell, Mick Malloy, and Kerry O'Keefe in fine form last year at the Adelaide Test Match. We are having a story off.
So I'd like to tell you a bit of humour that went over the fence I heard. One day I was at the MCG, it was a test match between Pakistan and Australia. Shoaib Akhtar was bowling, and Shoaib Akhtar had just been done for chucking.
Yep.
So anyway, he was fielding at fine leg just in front of us. And in front of me were three 14-year-old boys, and there was Shoaib Akhtar, and if one got nicked around the corner down to fine leg, Shoaib Akhtar's picked it up and he's thrown it in like a rocket, bang, right over the bales. And this little boy stood up and gone, "Nice bowl."
Got to take you back to the Champions Trophy final. Me and Jonathan Agnew are doing the commentary for TMS BBC. We're there. We got in there half an hour early. We're looking down the team sheet. I look at the Pakistani opening batsman. His name is spelled F-U-C-K-A-R. So we're sitting there, we're going, oh, that's going to be tricky. And then Agnes goes, oh, sod this, we just got to call it how it is. So he's going, oh, that's a fantastic shot through the offside by you know what I mean? This goes on. Oh, he's pulled a beautiful one there. Oh, it's fantastic. So it's his name. What else
it's
can we do?
Name.
It's his name. We can't do anything else. Then he got the 19 and we're sitting there like that and the commentary went. And in comes the Indian opening bowler and it's outside off. So nicked it. No, out. No, nicked it. Yes, caught behind. He's caught behind. Oh, hold on a minute. It might be a no ball. Oh, it's a no ball. That means he's not out. What a lucky chap.
My highest first class score is 99 not out.
Oi.
Is it?
Yeah. For Australia against Auckland in February 1974.
Auckland.
On a tour at the Eden Park. I bat 7. 538. I'm walking in to face Bob Kunis. I'm slow early. I'm slow in the middle. I'm slow late. At stumps, I'm 82 not out. Ian Chappell says, have you got a first-class century, Skull? I said, no, I haven't. He said, I'm batting on to give you a chance. We're 7 down. I've gone from 82 to 99 in singles. In he comes, the number 11. I'm on 99. Ashley Mallett.
Oh, jeez.
We didn't get on. After a while, I said, if I push this on 99 through the covers, will you run? He went, Next ball, I push it through the covers. I run 19 yards up the pitch. And what does he say? He becomes the first in the history of any guy on 99 not out to be at the non-striker's end and say, wait! Run out by 18 yards!
He loves this goal, doesn't he? Triple M's Willow Talk, Mark Howard, Greg Blewett and Merv Hughes. We were just listening to the world-famous story off between O'Keefe, Mick Molloy and Phil Tufnell. And Kerry was relating a story that he'd never made a first-class 100 and there was a player run out on 99 up the other end. Blewett, you were telling us in the break that you'd had a 99-style situation.
Well, I made two 99s in the same summer, which was very frustrating.
Test
but
match.
The first test match, first 99 was against the West Indies at the Adelaide Oval, batting with Michael Bevan, who is quicker than Usain Bolt. And I've just put one out to, they didn't even have a gully at that stage. I just sort of knocked it out there, the easiest single of all time. And I got halfway up the pitch and Bevo said, nope, see you, mate, nope. And I went back, made my ground comfortably, and I got out two balls later. So I was pretty happy with that. And he came in and said, oh, sorry, Blue, I just wasn't thinking. Yeah, nice one. Thanks,
yeah, frustrating
mate.
Making 99. I never had that problem.
No. No, Warnie got out. Warnie was out for 99.
Yeah, off a no ball. But the thing about it, Bluey comes into the room and everyone says, oh, bad luck, Blue. As a 9, 10, 11, you think, bad luck, I'd love to make 99. I'd love to make 99 in a season.
You were relating a Paul Rifle story to us as well, Mervyn.
Paul Rifle, yeah, 99 people were unlucky. I think it was Maxi Klinger down in Hobart. Got the declaration.
Playing for Victoria.
Playing for Victoria.
He declared on him on 99.
No wonder he went to South Australia.
Batting too slowly.
Declared.
The other Mitchell Stark test 99.
Yes.
Over in India.
That's exactly right. Mm. And what did Ashton Agar make on debut?
97?
90 something or other. In absolutely no time at all. Boys, it's been a pleasure sitting here on a Saturday morning and having a chat with you both. Just before we do go, Brisbane Heat versus the Hurricanes tonight. And Sydney Sixers versus the Perth Scorchers as well. So a double header on Fox Cricket. Who wins out of the Sixers and the Scorchers? Bluey?
I'm going the Scorchers to bounce back. I think they've got a pretty good unit, so I'm going with the Scorchers, Howie.
And Merv, Brisbane Heat versus the Hurricanes. Hopefully Jofra Archer plays because he is express.
I really don't like Bluey, so I'll go for the Sixers.
Okay, but I asked you who was going to win out of Brisbane
and
Hobart.
That's right.
Brisbane Heat.
Right.
I've got to listen. So I've really got to listen more.
Merv's trying to break history by tipping the Sixers to winning the Heat versus Hurricanes. If you've missed the last 2 hours, that's pretty much what Merv's been serving up.
Pretty well sums it up.
That is,
mate, it's Saturday morning. Give me a break, will you?
Have a great Saturday. Have
Christmas
a wonderful
parties.
Christmas.
That's Stumps on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, they've done well.
Want a head start on the show for next week? Catch it Saturdays on Triple M. Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong.